We are live. Welcome to a live edition of the Supplement Engineer Podcast. My name is Robert Chinesky. Joining me is the founder of Inspired Nutraceuticals, Mr. Christopher Waldrum. Chris, welcome to the show, my friend. I think this is your fourth time on the show? Third time? I don't know, man, but every time I see your face pop up on my screen, I know it's going to be a good time, and it always warms my heart.
Dude, absolutely, man. Like always, I appreciate you, Robert, for doing something good in this industry and by educating people and pulling us out of this kind of darkness. So every time I come on here, I feel very fulfilled because your level of intellect when applying to anything in this industry is like up there, man. So I respect you, buddy.
I do my best. I'm just a nerd that loves all things math and science and fitness. So it kind of all just kind of snowballs into this one thing that has become this podcast and the various things that I write on throughout the year. So it's been fun. It's been interesting. And prior to starting up the podcast engine, we were saying, I have no idea where this path is going to take us. But it's like, I don't know. You started on the sales side with the brands, and then you founded Inspired. And so, you know, did you have a clear cut mind of where you were going to go when you jumped into the supplement industry? Or are you just kind of like, you know, flying by the seat of your pants and, hey, you know, you keep putting in the good hard work each day and every day, and then it's just going to take you, you know, it always ends up working out.
Yeah, I think initially with a lot of entrepreneurs, they just know that they have the grit and the ability to endure any kind of, you know, volatility of emotions and energies that you're definitely going to go with. So initially, it was just by the sweat off my back, like, hey, I'm going to go hit the pavement, I'm going to make contacts, cold call people, walk into the stores. And I knew that I had something special just because there was, you know, such a massive gap at that time, not so much anymore because everything that can be done has been done. But at that time, that was the age of, proprietary blends and no transparency. So I knew I had something special. I didn't know how special, and I didn't really know how to apply it as far as a marketing standpoint. I just knew how to talk to people, and I had a good network. So yeah, initially it was just like, dude, put 110% into it. As you grow, things become much more methodical. You know how to use the data more efficiently. Mm-hmm. So it's much different now. But yeah, the first step was just like, hey, if you could do it, I could do it. Let's go.
Outstanding. And we're recording this the day after you turned your 36th birthday. So first off, happy birthday. And then this episode will also, well, we're shooting it live now, but it's going to officially debut Christmas Day. So on Friday, so 2 days from now. So you get to, you know, not only be here for your birthday, but you're going to be our Christmas special as well. So how does Chris Waldrum celebrate his birthday?
Man, very, very calm and relaxed. Didn't do anything crazy. We went up to Bryan Head, which is a small, quaint town, about an hour and a half north. Spent the weekend there for my birthday. So last night, Stephanie made me confetti cake because that's just my favorite cake of all time.
Yeah.
Landon came over and it was just us, man. Super intimate. We were going to do like a big dinner and invite all our friends out. Mm-hmm. I was just exhausted, just like you. I've been working a ton and like, man, into the late hours of the night, early hours of the morning kind of thing. So I didn't really feel like being around a ton of people because that, you know, my mental energy was pretty lacking at that. So nice and calm, intimate, dude, you know, no super spreader. Don't worry, guys.
I was just talking with another brand owner earlier today about some of like the shipping difficulties that they've been having, especially like post Black Friday. Have y'all had any of those challenges with like orders continually getting delayed out to customers that have ordered things since Black Friday?
We haven't had really too much trouble Black Friday, but coming into this bottleneck of Christmas, mm-hmm. Yeah, shipping times have been lengthened. But we haven't had too much. I mean, we have a really good rep at USPS, UPS, FedEx. So they take care of us. So maybe it depends on what level of your business relationship is with them. Mm-hmm. You know, how much stress factors you could kind of reduce. So I have to be bad. But Stephanie handles all that too. So even if it was kind of bad, you know, it wouldn't be directly in front of me. I know when things go awry, she vocalizes it. She hasn't been screaming. So
not too much.
Yeah, not too much at all.
We got Scotty Mac chiming in all the way from Scotland, way across the pond. For anybody else that's tuning in on the live feed, if you have any questions for Chris or myself, feel free to post them up. And for you guys that are joining the party late, this is Chris Waldrum from Inspired Nutraceuticals, one of my favorite people in the industry, and I don't really say that all that often when dealing with podcast guests. So I've done enough of these episodes and interviews that, like, usually I'll have a script or like a set of questions I don't want to go to, and you and I just we fly by the seat of our pants when we do these, just because it's such a natural back and forth, and it's just a fun time. So, are there any special Christmas plans for the Waldrum household? Well, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Festivus, whatever y'all celebrate.
Man, I know. You can't even call it Christmas. It's just holidays now, right? They're going to start taking away each little, you know, essential level that I went through as a childhood now is like cancel culture the fuck out. And they're like, nope, no more Christmas, just, you know, happy holidays, which is sad. Even though I'm not religious, I still greatly respect other people who are. And I think that tradition should stay intact. I don't think that we should continue to progress to break down cool traditions that aren't really bad. So I don't know. Anyways, nothing crazy. Just me, Steffi, Coda, Landon, and then Landon's probably going to bring over somebody too. Mm-hmm. My mom's going to be coming out for New Year's. So we have like a really cool bash that we're going to do for New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. But this is just, man, super, like I said, intimate. And I like to keep things low key because everything outside of my family life is high, intense, you know, energy. And I'm sure you're the same way too. So any chance I get to really have.
Gotcha.
Like Thanksgiving, you know, something like that together. Mm-hmm. I love it. I really appreciate it. So what about
yourself? Do y'all have a set meal plan that y'all do? Like, is there like something's got to be on the table every time? Like that, no matter what, Christmas Day comes or, you know, New Year's Day comes, there's going to be like a giant roast beast on the table of some kind, or do y'all kind of vary it up from, you know, year to year?
Man, so Stephanie's vegan. So she is going
to
be
and the you're one. You're still married to her?
Oh yeah, you still married me, dude. I mean, seriously, that's a whole nother conversation. You vegans out there, keep up the good work. Anyways, yeah, dude, like Thanksgiving, I have to have a turkey, and it has to be like a 30-pound turkey. For Christmas, we usually do like a roasted chicken. So big old fat, steroid up, juiced up, butterball chicken.
Oh, yeah.
Probably has so much hormones in it, but you know what I mean? I'm trying to get jacks up. At least transferable there.
Yeah, man. You speaking of juicing up, you've been moving some serious weights in the gym. From the clips, the training clips you've been uploading, it seems like you've been hitting it hard and heavy lately.
Yeah, my training partner Aaron Jeffrey. I don't know if you've seen him, but I posted a ton of him. Mm-hmm. He's just like such an amazing figure. He's an IFBB pro and classic, and we've been training for about 6 months straight, back to back, no days off, pretty much. And it's just the first time I've been motivated, because typically when I work out with people, my strength is just so much higher than them that it's hard for them to get me amped up. And mm-hmm. typically gym partners aren't the ones that are like, come on, do another rep, where he's going to be a little bit more assertive and, you know, kind of building my own strength. So yeah, dude, training with him for a while has been great. And he's convincing me in to maybe do a show next year. So the past couple of months, it's just been getting a higher caloric intake, making sure I'm getting better rest, and really, like our last conversation, really getting that day schematic set where it's just like clockwork. Every part of the day is set. And that's helped me out quite a bit too, business related as well.
Has he brought any, or, you know, maybe you've been in the iron game long enough to where you've kind of dabbled with all the different advanced training techniques and whatnot. So you're probably familiar with it and use most of them yourself. But has he brought anything new to the, I guess, your training, maybe outside of a mindset shift, any kind of techniques or exercise pairings or just stuff that you weren't doing before, maybe not as much, and you're doing it now?
Man, dude, so to go back like 20 years ago when I first started getting into weights, I'd be the one that buys like the Flex magazine, Muscle and Strength, and read every single article, like everything, all of the obnoxious like training tips that probably didn't do jack crap. But you still did it because they're like, okay, make sure you do this, make sure you do that. And honestly, I'm at the point now where, yeah, we'll do like a lot of different intervals, drop sets, pause sets, giant sets, all that. But the most effective thing to building muscle is the mind-muscle connection and actually getting that contraction. So depending on like the, I guess, velocity that we do things or how like intense we want to go, the one constant has been to really try to identify what that peak contraction is. And then once the muscle's balled up, to really stretch it slowly and then get that kind of tempo. So I guess to answer the question, probably the biggest difference would be like tempo in the rep of how do you identify, target that muscle without activating secondary muscles, or really putting a lot on your joints, where you see a lot of dudes lifting, like your joint lifting or your ligament lifting. You know, you're not really on that isolated muscle belly. So yeah, dude, in 36 too, like I could put up weight, but I don't want to go past the point where my form suffers, where the technique suffers. So it's really been going back to the freaking, you know, to the very beginning, like, okay, learn the mechanics of the body, learn what lift best fits that muscle group, and then, you know, obliterate it kind of thing.
Yeah. Are y'all varying rep ranges? Are y'all tend to sticking in like the sweet spot, like 8 to 12 range? Are you going lower, 6 to 8, 10 to 15, 15 to 20? Are y'all using like a broad spectrum of rep ranges? Are you kind of like keeping it? Is there, I guess maybe it's exercise specific.
Definitely exercise specific, but yeah, it almost applies to everything. So I have what I call my 20 rep max. And I try to hit a new 20 rep max like every 2 weeks, even if it's just like marginally higher. Mm-hmm. So that's a constant we do. And then I have my 10 rep max too. So within that, I never really go as low as 8 because I just think that's a lot for your body to handle. Like if I can't do something 10 with good form, there's just going to be a chance that I can hurt myself.
Right.
So so even like 1 rep max, I did 6 plates on deadlift the other day. And that was the first time I did a 1 rep max. I'm like, years. Yeah. So yeah, dude, super basic B, 8 to 12. But within that though, I'll have one lift that I try to get my 20 rep max and one lift. Like today, my 20 rep max on incline, I was going for 275, got it 19 and a half reps. So one shy.
Impressive. Damn, dude. That is impressive. How big is the incline? Is it like 30 or 45, or are you going lower than that?
No, it's relatively high, probably close to a 45. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So definitely a lot of like frontal delt engagement. But I don't do anything for my lower chest because no matter what, that's going to be sustaining a lot of the weight.
Right.
Flat on a bench, it just has so much, I think, puts too much weight on your shoulder blades and your rotator cuff. So incline, I just feel like it works a lot better for my body. And it's probably like, you know, case dependent on that person's physiology of how their body mechanics work.
Yeah.
But yeah, incline, dude, every time chest, incline, guys.
That's the same way I feel. Like I'm very oddly built. Like I've got super like monkey arms and like long appendages and stuff. So like every time I'm doing like a flat press, it feels like my shoulder is just like it's probably just because like if I turn to the side and I go like this, my arms are so long, it's like my shoulder's gonna end up going in like that. So it's incline or it's like push-ups on like suspension rings with weight on my back or weighted dips or something like that. That doesn't bother my shoulders, but man, a flat press kills me no matter what position, hand position, width, anything like that. So
yeah, that's so we started incorporating incline, then we'll do a military press, then we'll do some sort of dip variation. And there's this really cool dip machine where you could grab like an overhand behind you and it really ties in like your outer pec to your frontal delt, obviously engaging like your triceps quite a bit too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, dude, we only do like 3 or 4 movements max, but that's for also shoulders as well too. So like an upper press, military press, some sort of fly just to be able to get the inside connection, and then a dip to round it out. And that's all I think you need, man. And that's another thing too. My workouts went from going like 2.5 hours to like a solid hour and a half by condensing it, not doing like 6 different movements, because I do think there's a level of overtraining where you get the counterproductive diminishing return effect where you're just beating up the muscle and the muscle's like, dude, you killed me. You're not going to get any more.
Right.
And I'm doing like German high volume training for a while, but I wasn't growing. Like my strength was getting there, but I really wasn't like putting on muscle. And I think it's just because, getting that diminishing return.
Yeah. Well, there's also like some point there's fatigue that sets in the nervous system and your brain's just checking out to where you could be going through the motions, but the ability to, you know, get a complete contraction or your just ability to put a high level of effort into each and every rep and set, it's just gone by the time you get past a certain level in your workout, no matter how experienced you are, you know, how much pre-workout you've taken or whatever.
Yeah, so I was trying to mess around with, okay, do we do like high volume training? Maybe not a lot of reps with each set, but a lot of sets, and then kind of make up in between there. And what's worked best for me, and I can't recite the study because I forgot, but there was a study that came out that says the muscle, the only time you get true muscle growth is about the last 20% of each set. So if you get to, you know, 10 reps, that last little 2 reps, if that's your max, or when you're like really growing. So I try to do at least 4 with that kind of mentality to really get past that threshold of the 20% and really keep the form and focus on that contraction. And with doing that, dude, like this is the first time I think I put on some solid muscle in a long time. And like this time last year, I was up around like 230 something. And now I'm at about 220 to 222, but my muscle bellies are just so much more defined by checking your ego, bro, and just going slow, man. Like, I have a saying in the gym that I tell everybody all the time, like slow and low. So when you go like slow, go down, make sure the muscle's like holding it. When people go on that negative, they put it on their joints. They're going down fast, right? And it's not like your muscles being this elastic band, like stretching. That is prepping the muscle for the contraction. So as long as you have that kind of, I guess, application to it, it's been super effective, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's basically what I try to do with all my sets. Like get within somewhere around 3 reps of failure. Like if you're, even 3 reps, I like to be within 1 to 2 reps. And if it starts like really grinding to the top, that's where I cut it. Cause I know the next one, it's either going to be like shitty ass form or I'm going to fail. And that's just going to that zaps you more than it's productive. I find, at least in my workouts with certain movements, especially presses. Like if I get to a point where I fail on the rep, that next set, if I'm doing like sets of 8 to 10, that next set will be like 4 or 5 just because it's so fatiguing for whatever reason, or if just maybe my pecs are little bitches and they just fail real quick.
Well, you made a good point though. It's also your central nervous system. Like once your CNS system gets maxed, it takes a while to come back. So you have a couple different ways of foregoing that, going with about 20% of that, of your max to, total failure, or just having like longer rest. Central is around like 90 seconds. Mm-hmm. Powerlifters are around like 5 minutes because they want that ATP to build back up inside their body. Right. But if you have enough carbohydrates in you and if you have like food, like 90 second rest, that should be enough to really get back into it. And not have too much fatigue or lactic acid buildup.
Yeah. What do your leg training sessions look like? Are they built heavily around squats or you switch them more to like leg presses and hack squats or lunges? What's that looking like?
Man, so hack squats are king. I think hack squats are one of the best, like quad builder specifically. Obviously, it'll hit your vastus medialis if you really keep your feet a little bit narrow, mm-hmm. but your outer sweep, your hamstrings and glute tie-in, it is just the best for it. And I like, so I do like squats, but I like the hack squat quite a bit because your back is just firm on that. So there's no like variance of where your hips could go. Right. And with squats, you know what I mean? Once you start getting fatigued, if your pelvic floor starts to get fatigued, then you're just going to be at risk of injury. Hack squats, you're just there straight down. I like going down super slow. So I'll do like a 2 to 3 second negative, go contract, make sure I flex the muscle before I go back down and then repeat the rep. So my leg workouts aren't really that special, I don't think. But what I do before like the prep to do a leg workout of getting like the muscles firing, it's almost like its own workout. It takes me like 30 minutes. And it's basically just doing things that are helping out with my pelvic floor, making sure my hamstrings are firing, mm-hmm. my quads are firing. And I do, and you might make fun of me, anybody watching, but I do the adductor and the abductor.
Yeah.
So any kind of IT band engagement on your outer sweep is just going to help when you go down, keep your legs stable. And so, yeah, I do like 30 minutes of that before I even jump into legs. And it's kind of like a pre-exhaust, pre-pump, warm-up.
Cool. How has your supplementation regimen changed at all since you've been kind of on this mass gaining quest?
Man, so what have I really done different? So as far as supplements, I take our multivitamin, maybe 2 capsules a day because I do have a pretty healthy diet. And I don't think you need to have the full serving if you do eat pretty clean.
Yeah.
The main difference was just adding more calories in general. And my appetite since I intermittent fast is pretty crappy until later in the day. So the biggest, I think, change is right after the gym, I wouldn't have any kind of post-workout. I have a shake, which is a cup of oatmeal, 5 ounces of some sort of greens, either kale or spinach, a whole banana, 200 grams of almond milk, and 200 grams of egg whites. Blend that thing up. I think it's about like 600 calories. So my normal diet was around like 2,600 calories. Added another 600 calories. I'm probably around like 3,200 a day. Mm-hmm. But that had like an immediate impact. It was really surprising because I think you intermittent fast too, right? Or you did?
Yeah, I was doing it. And then it got to the point where like since 2020 has started and basically like the summer, I've lost 10 pounds just because I like go out for like walks all throughout the day and stuff just because I'm tired of being at home. And like it used to be like I would go sit at a coffee shop and work there for like the entire morning. Well, now I'm working at home. I probably could go to a coffee shop, but now I've been doing it at home so long. Just fuck it. I'll make my own coffee and I'll get up and go for, 3 or 4 walks during the day. Each one of those is between 30 minutes to 60 minutes. And so without realizing it, I'm burning upwards of 3,500 calories a day and I wasn't really tracking or eating anything. And that was all in addition to my usual training schedule where I was lifting 4 to 5 days a week and I had 1 or 2 days of kind of interval training. And so, yeah, I started realizing, I'm like, holy shit, wait, and I poked myself in the stomach the other day. I'm like, what the fuck is that? I'm not used to seeing that there. And so it's like, I need to start like reversing the thing, like start eating more. So I've started working in some breakfast now. So now instead of eating around noon, I started around like 9:30 or 10.
Yeah, that's not bad. I mean, you could kind of apply that 8-hour window whatever is most conducive to you too, if you want to stick within that kind of structure.
Yeah.
With me, yeah, it was just getting my appetite up to be able to do that, because I never checked how much calories I was burning either. So like you, when I was going on the walks, it was like a little over 5 miles a day. Mm-hmm. I was burning a ton of calories, but I wasn't like eating to be able to, you know, replace those calories. So I think I was just kind of this constant state of almost like regression where I'm like, I'm working out hard, lifting, but there was not enough calories to really like fortify my ability to grow.
Yep.
Yeah. So that was a game changer, man. Just making sure that you're getting the calories that work best with your body. And I do think that certain bodies or certain body types work well with different types of calories. Like I love white rice, but white rice has a different impact, even if it's like the same on a glycemic index. And you could debate me to the end, like, you know, fucking if that even matters. I think just my body works well with certain type of carbohydrates. And I think it's dependent on where you're from, where your ancestry came from, what kind of food that they ate.
Yeah, there's a genetic component. I would agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely. So like me, I'm German, Irish, Hispanic. So dude, like, yeah, tortillas. I could eat tons of tortillas. I could eat corn, which some people can't eat corn.
Yeah.
Potatoes. Potato chips, russet potatoes, which I know starches shouldn't be a good thing for you, but they just work really well with my body.
Do you have a favorite carb source out of any of those? You listed off a bunch of them. Is there one that push came to shove, you only get one carb source for the rest of your days? What would it be?
Dude, it would be freaking sushi sticky rice, man. You know, like the dense, chewy rice. That's my favorite. I love it. But if I, like I said, I could have a couple oatmeal. Doesn't hit me like the rice. I do the rice and I definitely get a little, you know, glycogen loading in the wrong areas of my body.
Yeah. Apple Dipper. This is the first time I think I've seen them on the channel before chiming in with the comments. So happy belated birthday, Chris.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Apple Dipper, man. Yeah. Makes me hungry.
Exactly. And for anybody else that's still tuning in on live feed, you got questions for Chris, anything you want to know about Inspired, what they have coming up, what they've done in the past, feel free to fire them away. We'll get to them all during the course of our chat here today. And if you enjoy these live podcasts, let us know, because I might start doing these a little bit more than just the recorded sessions. It kind of also depends on the guests. Some guests don't want to be recorded live. They just want to kind of have the one back and forth. But you've been on here enough that you're an open book. So it's you know, whatever flies.
Yeah, no, I've definitely an open book to my demise, you know. I can't keep anything on my chest, man. I just like being very open, but still being obviously respectful. But yeah, I don't know. What's your diet looking like these days?
Oh, man, I want to say I've almost been eating the same thing. Like even going back to like engineering days where I would pack my lunches and stuff during the day, I'm a robot. I could eat the same thing day after day. And it's pretty much because I eat foods that I like. I'm not going to like overly restrict myself. So within a typical day. So lunch for me is usually chicken sandwich with an ounce and a half of cheddar cheese on it. Two slices of wheat bread. It's 4 or 5 ounces of chicken, I think, cooked chicken. I'll stick that in the air fryer and let that toast into where like the top of it gets almost like chipping, like I'll slice the chicken so thin or it becomes like chips. So I'll eat the top layer of that and then I'll actually put the sandwich together and eat it that way.
Nice.
With a big giant bowl of steamed veggies next to that, broccoli and green beans. Dinner is usually a ton of roasted vegetables that I've cooked up in the air fryer, which the one thing about that thing is awesome. It's like it makes them kind of charred on top and a little bit crispy on the bottom from the convection air circulating around. I'll have that with long grain jasmine rice and then some kind of red meat on it. So lately, this is Texas, so we're in beef country. So we get pretty good deals on both sirloin and filet mignon or beef tenderloin. So we'll kind of have that each night. Right before I go to bed is usually this giant yogurt protein concoction of like 8 ounces of Greek yogurt, a scoop of protein powder, 2 servings of frozen berries, usually strawberries and blueberries. One serving of like cereal, some kind of cereal in there, just because I don't have a big appetite. So at the end of the day, I'm always trying to like crush more calories in there. And breakfast is usually a smoothie of 8 ounces of milk, tablespoon of peanut butter, scoop of protein powder, half a frozen banana, and cocoa powder and lion's mane. I'll put all that in there, buzz that up, and that's, you know, another 500 or 600 calories there. So that's most days. And then I usually work in 1 or 2 old fashions a day just because that gets the creative juices flowing in the afternoon work period.
Dude, I love it, man. That sounds, yeah. I mean, you have like all the elements of your machine working and that's so important, especially being, you know, business owner, being a husband or a partner, being a father, like you need to make sure that your body's internal engine is functioning efficiently and properly. And diet has so much to play into that, even more so than I wanted to admit. I thought I could train past that whole stereotypical, you can't train past a bad diet. Absolutely true. Absolutely true.
Yeah. And there's some supplements in there. So I'll have a pre-workout or I might have a nootropic. So it kind of depends on what the given day is. If like, do I do have coffee? Do I do a nootropic? Do I do a pre-workout instead? And you know, during the day, I don't think I'm getting any magical benefit from aminos, but I'll just sip on a serving of those just because I want something besides regular water during the day. Creatine's a staple, and there's a few other bulk nootropics that I just take every day just because that's what I do. If it's not in the pre-workout or the nootropic, then I'm throwing in lion's mane, uridine monophosphate, rhodiola on most days.
Nice.
Just because I find that gives me a pretty good like boost in the afternoons if I don't want to have coffee or more caffeine, or I don't feel like I need caffeine. I just kind of want to get something like just amped up a little bit more. I find that is a really good kind of a focus and mood booster for me. 300 milligrams of Bacopa Monieri, the Bacognize form as well, just for cognitive health. I'll take some N-acetylcysteine because, as I mentioned, I do consume bourbon fairly frequently, and I figured let's support some liver health while we're at it.
A little bit.
And you know, in between that, it's whatever product I'm testing, or if I've got a formula in the works for something, I've got to be testing some of those things and whatnot. So it's the supplement is kind of like a revolving door of different stuff, and I have some consistent stuff, but most of the time it's different things each day, which kind of makes it hard when people say, "What's your favorite X that you tried this year?" I'm thinking, I don't really know, because I've either tried so many things or there's so many good products on the market that it's kind of hard to do. But you know, typically when it comes to like, I've had a lot of questions for stim-free pump pre-workouts as of late. And so like FSU is always in my top five of those. How has it been from the brand side? Cause it seems like they're like, at least from my point of view, or, you know, the amount of questions I'm getting, there's a ton of demand for stim-free pre-workouts. So how has FSU been moving in comparison with all the rest of the lineup?
Dude, really well. It's a top mover. Everything in our line actually does very well. When you go back to like 2017, only Devastate did its thing. So fortunately, inventory turnover is pretty equal across the board. But we do need to come out with more flavors of FSU. And it's also, you know, I mean, a year and a half old, and I'd have to look, but about a year and a half old, which in like supplement terms, that's like, you know, ancient.
It is.
So we need to come out with more flavors, and we have some cool designs that we're going to be implementing to it. But yeah, on like a apples to apples standpoint, I still think FSU is one of the best out there just because it crosses off so many areas of what it is to have a pump, not just nitric oxide, not just cell volumization, hydration, et cetera, like everything in there to have that encompassing kind of pump. But since then, like you said, there's been a lot of other really dope pump products out there. And now almost every single one that's worth mentioning, you know, could be considered one of the best. And I think, well, you know, especially these days, using terminology like best, you know, or number one, anything is completely subjective to the individual and that individual's experience, because some people that love FSU, there's other people that don't like FSU. Some people like citrulline a ton. Some people like arginine nitrate a ton. So it's really dependent on the individual.
Yeah. Speaking of retooling the formula, if that's even entered into your mind, there's, you know, we see new ingredients enter the landscape every year. And we recently had Bruce Neller on the podcast to discuss his new ingredient, 3D pump. Mm-hmm. Have you tried it at all? Have you looked into it? Do you have any thoughts on the ingredient?
No, man. And maybe you could help elaborate a little bit. I've had a brief conversation with him about it, but it's always just, you know, hey, USPTO, like, I need to get this trademarked or licensed or whatnot, has been a big process. So yeah, dude, educate. Let me know.
Okay, so it's a 6 gram blender. I guess their basic thing is like the one that they're kind of positioning for people to start with is a 6 gram blend. It's going to contain 3 grams of L-citrulline, and then the rest is made up of glycerol, and then a little bit of Phyllanthus emblica, which is amla fruit or Indian gooseberry. So, you know, they've got a small pilot study showing that, you know, the combination of those three led to greater effects than, you know, just glycerol on its own and or citrulline on its own and all of that. My question is, I'm curious, is, you know, they've got that blend like that, but what's to stop a brand from, because a bunch of brands already use glycerol and citrulline in their products. So is the Indian gooseberry doing that much more than, say, if you threw in 300 milligrams of Vaso 6 or 300 milligrams of grapeseed extract or a gram of pomegranate powder? I mean, is the phyllanthus or the caprose Indian gooseberry, whatever you want to call it, is it potentiating the effects of glycerol and citrulline that much to make the cost that it's going to cost? Because we all know branded and trademarked ingredients are going to carry a pretty penny. So yeah. How is that, you know, is it worth it in that sense?
Yeah, I would say probably not, you know.
So, I mean, Bruce was nice enough to send my way and do, you know, dealing with all the shipping snafus of the holiday season. I haven't received it yet, but I'm curious. I mean, you know, initial feedback is pretty good from what I've heard. But I mean, you know, when brands tell you that an ingredient's awesome, it's obviously it's in their best interest to say their ingredient's performing well. Nobody's going to come out and say our ingredient's shit, don't use it. Obviously, nobody's going to do that. So, you know, I'm curious. But I mean, initial feedback I've heard from other people that have tried it have said, you know, it's pretty solid. It can carry its own.
Yeah, man. And that's it. Like, it's all case dependent too, because there's so many different variables that go into that actual workout. And if you have a pump, it could be by having a shitload of carbs, you know, the night prior or the workout. Yep. Being hydrated. So it's dude, I hate to say it, but I'm pretty jaded when it comes to supplements or ingredients, new ingredients, because ingredient companies are just like pharmaceutical companies. They're going to pay people to say exactly what they want and even be able to kind of manipulate the studies, you know, in their favor. So yeah, could it be awesome? I hope so. It would be fun to have stuff out. I know NNB, they seem to be doing a lot of cool stuff. So have you worked with them at all?
Intermittently. I know a couple of the people over there, and they've sent me some data for ingredients that I'm working on a couple of formulas with and whatnot. So I've been looking at the data, and I mean, one of the things I don't really understand or get much of, like, they came out with Caloriburn GP, which to me, it looks like the exact same thing as paradoxine. So why, you know, you're releasing the exact same thing. And then the dihydroberberine, I'm not going to blame them for this, or maybe it was the way other entities in the supplement industry position this. They kept saying, oh, it's five times better than berberine. And I'm thinking, no, it's as effective as berberine. We've actually got numerous human studies showing that berberine is as effective as metformin, even in healthy individuals. We don't have those studies on dihydroberberine. There's a study showing it's as effective as absorbed. So you can get by with a lower dose and possibly less GI distress, but you can't say it's better than berberine when we've actually got a bunch of other data showing that berberine is as effective as pharmaceutical means. So I think that's what's kind of had me jaded on that particular ingredient. Now it could be a quality ingredient, and that's fine. You know, that's good. I just, when people come out, it's, you know, when certain places are starting to advertise that as the second coming of whatever, and just, you're, you know, putting the cart before the horse there.
Dude, it is. And that's kind of like the big turnoff that I have. It's like, dude, it just sounds stupid. They do have like curcuprime. Curcuprime sounds pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Be more bioavailable. They have hydroprime, which I believe is their glycerol.
Yeah.
I don't know, something like 70%, which I don't think it is, but maybe you know. So it's just another pharmaceutical company, hopefully, that are going to be able to validate their studies instead of just all the libel that they continue to vomit out, you know, to try to sell stuff. But that's just boring, man. And people sop it up, though, too, is a thing. Especially if you have other like industry voices, like, you know, propagating it, they're going to listen. People are going to start demanding it. So good on it. And it's a business. So you can't hate on anybody for trying to make a buck.
Right. Since we're on the topic of FSU and stem-free pump supplements, I love that y'all have the electrolyte blend in there. We may have touched on this last time we were talking, but not enough stem-free pump formulas, I think, include electrolytes, and that, you know, at a base level, that's one of the most important things. You know, consuming enough sodium, enough electrolytes to make sure that the cells are hydrated sufficiently, you carry enough water in your body. You know, what are your thoughts on it? Do you ever see tweaking it, or did you decide on like those exact ratios of the minerals that are in there?
A little bit went into looking into like how much would be actually effective, but also like cost played a factor in that as well too. The formula is already exceedingly expensive. But if we're going to use like a chelated magnesium, that would have been super expensive. Mm-hmm. So just trying to find a ratio that we think would be conducive to the individual with also being conducive to our cost of goods. So we don't have to sell it at something like obnoxiously high, because the cost of goods of FSU is one of the highest cost of goods of products that we have. So definitely over engineered, over formulated. But if we launch something, like, it has to be cool, interesting, and tell a story, and not just put the whole, you know, citrulline, betaine, you know, kind of Agmatine route, right? Everybody else has done.
Exactly. I know that y'all have NeuroFactor on this, and I know you and I have touched on this before. One thing I'm curious about is, why don't we see NeuroFactor used more in the industry? And like, we have, there's people putting out single ingredients of every other kind of supplement under the sun. Even something like Pico 2 or Vaso 6, we're seeing single ingredients of those. Why don't we see any NeuroFactor like standalone ingredients for some reason? Is it absurdly expensive, or can you speak to the cost of goods? Like how much that is it super expensive as something like Vaso 6 or like the nitrates would be, or is it on like a different tier?
No, especially because it's only 100 milligrams that you need. So the cost of goods, no, it's extremely low. I don't know why anybody wouldn't use it. Maybe it doesn't have enough marketing behind it, or maybe they think that you're not going to get like some sort of like impact, you know, even if it's just placebo effect. But I think used in conjunction with other ingredients, NeuroFactor really shines. I've not taken it by itself, but I think just with a lot of other nootropics, like you said, Lion's Mane, you also.
Agreed.
Maca or another adapt kind of herb. They go together to make some sort of, you know, efficacious, but it's not just as good
as comment from Appleton. Not the biggest Chris's, but FSU is the best prom product he's ever. Nitrates hit different. Yes, they, that's, how was that with orchestrating? Because you have to go through, you know, some leap hurdles and stuff, securing the rights to use nitrate. And I've heard different things. And so people that may not understand what some of the legal hurdles you have to get to when you're dealing with Thermolife and getting the patent license and stuff. How was it from your experience, you know, getting those acquired?
Man, so this is a story for offline that I'll tell you later. But so dealing with Thermolife, I have a personal relationship with Ron now. And I know before then I was like everybody else, just heard a lot of, you know, back and forth talks. So I didn't really know how to approach this individual. But after talking to him a while, like Ron's a very smart guy. Mm-hmm. Like he is extremely intelligent. So much so that like every other ingredient in the industry is apparently complete bullshit. You know, we've had a lot of long conversations. But he vets everything. So I really appreciate Ron. So Ron, if you're watching, love you, buddy. But Thermolife is very particular with who they allow to use their nitrates. And a lot of people that try to get around that feel the brute force of Thermolife. Yep. You know, but yeah, dude, it was a long conversation. Call him out of nowhere. We got into it. I'll elaborate a little bit, you know, what that actually entails. And at the end of the day, he's like, yeah, man, I'd love Inspired to have our nitrates and let's hit it.
Sweet. Question from Apple Dipper. When are your juicy greens coming? Juicy, now, you already juicy. Have a green formula. So what are, can you elaborate on what maybe he's alluding to with the juicy greens?
Yeah. It's the, all of the flavor greens. So we're launching three new flavors and each of them are just so freaking good. And I'm very confident. I don't think my confidence is unjustified too, that they're going to be the best tasting greens for what they are in the industry. I mean, they came out awesome. So yeah, three flavors. I was hoping to have them before New Year's, but it looks like it's going to be the first or second week of January.
Now this is something that I have a love-hate relationship. Actually, it's probably more like dislike-hate. It's more of a dislike-hate relationship with greens than actually a like-dislike or a love-hate relationship with greens, because you look at the vast majority of products on the market and it's like 5 grams of like 86 ingredients plus some digestive enzymes, and then they sell it for, you know, $30 or $40 a pop. And so my question is, when people say, hey, is it worth it to use the greens? I'm thinking, do you really think you're going to get benefit from 3 milligrams of broccoli powder? I mean, or, you know, and all of these other things. And so what you've done, and what, you know, a couple of other brands have done, that put out a decent green, so something like Morphogen Nutrition is another really good example. It's like, they put this green formula, but they envelop it and surround it with all of these other cool things. So you've got a liver support matrix in here. You've got neuro support. You've got adaptogen complex in there as well. You know, just speak to why, I guess, greens are worthwhile in your experience, or what kind of feedback are you getting from people, and where do you see the utility of them?
Absolutely. So I think that whole category of greens is very convoluted and very misleading. If you want to have just a greens product, go on Amazon and get like 10 pounds of dried kale, you know what I mean, or powder kale. That could be a greens product. But the disingenuous side of the Greens product is saying, like, hey, you don't eat enough veggies, take this 5-gram scoop with 10 million different fucking, you know, elements, 1 milligram each, and that's going to do something. And that's where I think, you know, kind of the toxic side of this industry could be, the whole MLM kind of aspect of it. So when we went into formulating the greens, we wanted to have something that was, I overuse this, but encompassing, where it covers different like areas of what the body needs. And so our greens, I wanted to call it elixir because it's not really a greens powder. I mean, it has adaptogens, it has a lot of random stuff in there, each specifically put in there for its intended impact. So yeah, the greens I think is overused too much. Like, what the hell is a greens? Most greens are the piece of crap ones on Amazon, like you said, with 100 milligrams of broccoli. What's that gonna do? You know, what is that really gonna do? And ours were like, okay, let's go with adaptogens, a gram of maca, a gram of ashwagandha. People who are sensitive, like, they feel that, a nice little mood up boost. We wanted to have probiotics, so we went with MacTrek probiotics, which are acid and shelf stable, which just means when you digest them, they don't get killed until they get to your lower gut. Shelf stable, obviously, because probiotics are living little creatures, and they die real quick. So yeah, and if you look at our form, like, it's not really a greens formula. It's more of like this elixir, this rejuvenative kind of elixir, just for better like vitality. And that was our whole goal, dude. How can we help out with the microbiome, with the probiotics, prebiotics, and really get something that kind of fits a lot of areas where people might be deficient in, besides just like, hey, you didn't eat enough greens kind of thing.
Yeah. Do you know a little bit now? Y'all are using the patented TrueServe organic greens blend in addition to the chlorella spirulina and the aquamin minerals that y'all have in there. Do you know a little bit more about how they're processing the TrueServe to retain as much micronutrition in there as possible? Because depending on how the greens are processed and dehydrated, I mean, you could be winding up with basically a green powder that is useless. So can you elaborate a little bit on maybe how they're going about to retain as, you know, maximum nutritive value?
Man, I remember it was something like a cold press process where no heat was involved. So, you know, I guess technically it shouldn't denature it. But you're right, man. A lot of the greens out there are just coloring, you know, like chlorella or spirulina. Like, it's just going to color your water and have absolutely like no nutrient density or positive impact. So, but I believe that's a process. I have to look it up, dude, because I formulated that a little while back and I really need to revisit that information.
Can you elaborate, I guess, on the three flavors now? So you got Malibu Breeze, Island Vibes, and Sonoran Sunset. Now, those are very, it's not like pineapple mango, strawberry mint, or something like that. So can you give the listeners a little bit of an insight into what these different kind of flavors may taste like?
Yeah, so Sonoran is a mango margarita lime. Very, very light on the lime. I mean, that's good. Like 2% of that whole flavor. But it adds enough of the back end to really tie it in the mango. I love mango. Mango's really hard to like to nail right, but this tastes like a freaking mango smoothie. And the whole goal of these flavors was, yes, they're going to be naturally sweetened. They're going to be artificially sweetened because to be able to get to this level of flavor, like, you can't do it with monk fruit, lohengao, and stevia. It's just not possible. So the goal was, like, I want this to mix up and taste completely different than what it looks like. And with the spirulina and chlorella, those are very green because of chlorophyll inside of there. But I want, when you drink it, to be like a Jamba juice. I don't know if you guys have those out there. You know, like a fruit smoothie.
Yeah, there's one by us, yeah.
So yeah, dude, you taste Sonoran and you look at it, it's like, dude, it's this bright, radiant kind of swamp water green, but it tastes so freaking good. And so Sonoran Sunset, a mango margarita, back end of lime. Malibu Breeze is a strawberry watermelon, which I think that might be everybody's favorite because it just came out great. And Island Vibes was a new flavor that we were going to bring to Amino's, and we're still going to. We just couldn't get it to work, but somehow it works perfect with the greens, which makes almost completely no sense. But that is a, it's a pineapple, mango. There's one more in there. Pineapple, mango, guava. Forgot.
That sounds amazing. Sign me up for that. That sounds awesome. Anything tropical flavored, I'm a huge sucker for. So, damn, that sounds extremely enticing.
Yeah, we want it. So we wanted it to taste. We wanted it to taste as good as like your aminos. Like, you drink aminos because you want to have something that tastes good. Aminos might do something. Maybe they don't. But at least your water tastes great.
Yeah.
That was our goal with the greens. Like, how much money do we? And so to elaborate on that, the flavoring systems in each of these greens is extremely expensive. So the cost of goods on the greens obviously went up quite a bit, but the experience that we want to offer, you know, it has to be something powerful where people are like, holy shit, this is good. Tell everybody else out there, go buy Inspired Greens.
Gotcha. Since you brought up aminos, any more flavors coming for Amino Fuego?
Man, you totally guessed one of the flavors, Pineapple Express. We came up with Pineapple Express 5 years ago, maybe a little over 5 years ago. We had it in the original Devastate, then moved it to Devastate Black Diamond, and then that went away. We're going to bring it back for Fuego. So we actually have that flavor, Pineapple Express, and then another flavor that I don't want to elaborate on because it's not for sure, but if it is cool, it's something that you could have as like a morning, a hot cup of something in the morning if you could pick up on what I'm in there. So pretty cool. And it came out very good. And nobody's done this flavor before. It's not like it's a super unique flavor, but I don't know if they just never wanted to, or maybe think it would fail, but it came out.
Excellent.
To send you one. You'll give me some feedback.
Yeah, I'm down to try anything. One thing, and I've never gotten a good answer to this from anybody, or maybe it's not a good answer, but like a definitive answer. So many people use coffee as a pre-workout. Like they just want a quick hit of caffeine. It's warm, it's delicious, it's good. Although some people don't want to use it because it gives them a little tummy upset and then they run to the bathroom. Why don't we see more coffee-flavored pre-workouts and or proteins? And that's just, I'm like, is the flavoring tech that hard to do for a pre-workout? Because I've seen one or two of them, but it's typically like Man Sports has that ISO coffee creamer, and I've seen one or two brands do a coffee-inspired protein, but is there just the demand not there from like the brand owner side for a coffee or like a latte-inspired flavor?
Yeah, I don't know if it's the demand or that companies really haven't figured out how to be able to launch it and market it correctly and convey it correctly to the audience. But no, I thought the same thing too. I had a formula for Devastate that was going to be a Devastate like coffee version that literally had like 10 dried grams of coffee, citrulline, and a couple other components in there that would be like a pre-workout. Mm-hmm. So with that, yeah, dude, we have Brewed coming out. Brewed is our coffee nootropic in little stick packs, and that has Neurofactor inside there and a couple other really cool elements to it. So I think there's a demand for it. It's just expensive to really do correctly. And then I don't know inside our industry if there's really that big of a market for it. But with Inspired, there's a market for it. So maybe it's just dependent on the company.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on Brewed? You know, when it might drop? What is it going to be just pure coffee flavor? Or is it going to be like a caramel macchiato or like a French Swiss Miss kind of thing, like French vanilla? And how much caffeine is going to be per serving?
Great question. So there's three flavors. There's espresso, which is just going to be like a cold brew. There's going to be latte, which is just like cream, milk, and sugar kind of thing. And then a caramel, which will be like a caramel macchiato when our Americans, what we call it. Yeah, dude. So I think there's 125 milligrams of caffeine per packet. So, you know, a little over like a bigger cup of coffee. There's a blend of nootropics inside there, some MCT. And the coffee that we're using, too, has a really cool story. It's one of the independent coffee companies in Australia. So that's where we're getting it, you know, all of our coffee from.
Yeah.
My partner in Australia has a relationship with the owner of this company. And over there, this company has the prestige of something like, you know, a high-end, snobby, single-source, you know, fair trade place in Seattle or something. Like, this is a big guys over in Australia. So, yeah, all of our stuff is coming from them. And I'm going to have to look it up, but I don't have it in front of me, and I'll tell you who, but it's really cool. The quality's there. It hasn't really been done in our marketplace, and that's why we're branding it differently. Like, if you see Brewed, it looks more like Anastasis.
Yeah.
I did, because Brewed was actually made for Anastasis. My partner in Australia just saw it. He's like, dude, we need to launch that here, because these kind of drinks in Australia are absolutely massive. Like, little Terengo coffees are huge over there. So there's a big demand in the marketplace that we're going to crush.
Is there, with the recent overhaul or the I guess, upscaled enforcement of the changes that are going on in Australia and New Zealand, has that impacted business or formulations or sales or anything?
No, but it's going to very soon. I mean, so much to the point that these companies that are doing massive sales over there, shipping containers, are going to be in a really tough spot, you know. And one of the crappiest ones, too, is the caffeine allowance. And
right.
I can't remember, but it was something like, 1% of total like weight could actually be caffeine. So yeah, pre-workouts having like 350 milligrams of caffeine, like BBD over there.
Not gonna happen. Or unless you want to have a 350 gram, or you know, a 35 gram scoop. So just throw in a bunch of creatine, BCAAs, and everything else.
We were joking with that. I was like, dude, easy though. 30 grams of dextrose, little 5 grams of creatine. So that's probably what's gonna happen. It's gonna go back to like the nanovapor days where you had the laundry scoop, you know, like 10,000 ingredients. Yep. I don't know, man. There's going to be some sort of evolution happening over there, but we already have everything ready to go and the next steps to it, like being initiated right now. But these other companies, man, they're going to be in a tough spot.
Yeah. Coffee flavoring question is something I'd ask you. Well, yeah, see, I don't have a good answer for it. I've been dying to see more nootropics and pre-workouts flavor. You have like coffee flavoring just because I love coffee. And if I can, you know, have it in a supplement form, all the better. But I figure, let me always ask a brand owner to see, you know, if maybe there's something, you know, something they know in the you know, behind the curtains that I haven't come across yet. So it's always good to get other people's input.
Yeah. To really nail the flavoring in a pre-workout would be difficult. And you'd have to have some things taken out of there and replaced with actual like evaporated coffee or something like that. So
yeah,
I think flavoring would be a big issue with a complex formula.
As far as protein powder goes, I think you would need to heat it up. Cold coffee is not nice, in my opinion. Do you like iced coffees, Chris? Or are you more of like a hot coffee? And how do you drink your coffee, provided you do drink coffee?
Dude, coffee every single morning, man. That's actually part of my morning routine. I get up 6:30 every morning, put a big pot of boiling water. While that boils, it takes about 10 minutes, literally 10 minutes exactly. I'm doing yoga, stretching, praying, meditating, that whole thing. And then I make a gigantic thing of French press. And if you don't French press, got to get at that level, guys.
I approve.
Absolutely. So typically like a darker, stronger coffee, you know, I don't like the blondes. I just think they taste terrible. So like right now I have Sumatra, but the French roast is good too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, dude, grind it up. I mean, I put a pretty, there's probably at least 200 milligrams of caffeine in my cup of coffee.
Do you eat drink the whole carafe, or do you like, does Stephanie have some of it too?
Dude, she doesn't drink caffeine because she's pregnant. So fortunately, I get all the good stuff.
Congratulations, baby number two's on the way.
Yeah, dude. Thank you, man.
I did not know that. Congratulations.
Another one of the pandemic babies, bro. I just talked to a couple at the gym, and I told them, I was like, yeah, we're having a pandemic baby. And they're like, oh my God, we just found out that we're pregnant, and they're having a pandemic baby too. It's baby boom, guys. There's going to be 60 years from now. The youth culture is going to look at this baby boom like we're looking at the baby boomers. You know what I mean? It's just complete crazy reversal. But no, so I just have one cup of coffee. It's not like a little teeny cup, probably like a medium size. Just one thing before the gym while I'm working. But I put xylitol in there, or xylitol. How do you say
xylitol.
Okay.
But who knows? I mean, there's not a pronunciation for the supplement industry. So, I mean, who's, you know, some people say creatine, some people say creatine. I mean, it's all of these things, you know, who knows? Glycine, glycine. I just go with the way I'm pronouncing it. And, you know, maybe I'm wrong on something. Who knows?
No, I fully. So yeah, I put 15 grams of xylitol and then 50 grams of organic cream, which is about 4 grams of fat. Mm-hmm. And that's my coffee. Yeah, it's perfect. Like, I was intermittent fasting and just doing like plain coffee, but now it looks like taking any kind of stimulants while you're intermittent fasting could throw off your fast. So I said, fuck, dude, if I'm going to have a cup of coffee, I'm going to really enjoy it.
And absolutely.
You know what I mean? Not have that black coffee, which, you know, to the people that do it out there, I commend you, but I'm going to enjoy the shit out of my tasty, sweet coffee.
See, Sandy always tells me I have the bitter gene. I love like raw vegetables are great. Give me as bitter coffee as you like. I want motor oil looking coffee. So like my absolute favorite coffee is New Orleans chicory and coffee. So like way back in the day, they used to do that because it was poor. way back in the 20s and 30s when this started. So chicory is just this ground up, you know, plant root. Like you see it in all the different kind of protein bars. Like you'll see chicory fiber inulin. Well, it's chicory mixed in with coffee. Because they use that as a bulking agent because coffee was so expensive back in the day, it was so hard to come by. They put this in there, but man, it makes the darkest, deepest, richest cup of coffee you have ever tried. It's in a little yellow cup. I'm gonna send me your address after this. I'm gonna order you some and ship some out your way so you can try it.
Dude, awesome.
Perfect. I love it. I drink it black. I mean, and you know, in New Orleans, they'll have these things, cafe au lait, to where it's half a cup of milk, and then it's like equal parts coffee and milk, and then they put in a bunch of sugar because it's New Orleans and nobody gives a fuck about health, longevity, right? They just give me as much good food as possible. I'll die at 50. I don't care. Just I want to enjoy my time on this earth is the New Orleans mindset.
Living at 200 miles per hour, dude. You know, insulin dependent, morbidly obese people.
Exactly. But delicious food, man. There's nothing like New Orleans cuisine, and that's what we're cooking for. Our big Christmas Eve dinner tomorrow night is going to be a New Orleans style barbecue shrimp. Now it says barbecue. There's nothing barbecue about it. It is basically a butter, lemon, and Worcestershire sauce. There are four sticks of butter in this sauce. And then you put in like a fourth of a cup of Worcestershire, the juice of three lemons, a bunch of like cayenne pepper and other Cajun seasonings, bring that up to a simmer, throw in some shrimp. And then you get some nice crusty French bread. You sop all that juice up, and the shrimp are there to make you feel like you're kind of healthy.
Sorry, I had to put on my glasses because blue light, I don't know if you feel it, dude, but blue light starts to like zap me. My brain starts to go, but that dinner sounds so calorically dense. Like I gained a pound just listening to the description.
It was Sandy's choice for the meal. That was not my choice.
What kind of shrimp?
We get like the big, like the 16 to 20 count. So it's like the huge old honking. Shrimp like that. Man. So that's the way to do it initially. So you brew the heads on shrimp there. I might just shortcut that because those are super expensive. And you're not, let's be honest, you're not eating that meal for the shrimp. You're doing that so you kind of feel healthy and you're getting some protein in there. It's mostly you're just going for the butter and bread. So like I know that's what we're doing. I'm gonna probably also get some fillets of cod because we're gonna have some leftover sauce. So I might poach some cod fillets in there too, or some like some other kind of like thin white fish like sole or flounder or something like that.
Dude, I love flounder. I love cod too, but you have to get like a really fresh, high quality cod or it's just disgusting. And I've had some bad experiences. So I'm like, I'm going to leave that out. Dude, so shrimp, have you ever looked into like, since shrimp are like the cockroach of the ocean, do you know like the quality of like, I don't know. I mean, you had to have heard that before, right?
Yeah, they're bottom feeders. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, we always get the Gulf shrimp, like the locally sourced stuff. I'm not trusting the stuff from China. I'm going to support my people down in New Orleans. We get the local stuff.
Oh, dude. I always wondered like how that translated as far as like, is that quality of protein identical compared to like, you know, chicken or something? Obviously not steak because it doesn't have that kind of fat, but a white meat chicken. Like, I wonder if it's that usable. Like, does your body assimilate it the same? If you eat enough shrimp, would it really spark protein synthesis? Or since, you know, maybe it's not a high quality, then it's almost, you know, a redundancy or something that doesn't do anything.
I mean, I think it's, I mean, it's definitely an incredibly lean protein and it's got all the essential amino acids. So it's a complete protein. It's also high in iodine and cholesterol, which are both good things for the body, good for thyroid function, hormone production, and all those kind of things. So, you know, I really like shrimp. I didn't like it as a kid just because I was a super picky eater, but I've come to really, really enjoy shrimp in my later years.
Dude, no, I love shrimp. I used to make them where I toss it in honey, what else? Honey and a little bit of like balsamic vinegar. And I'll just let it sit there and then put it on a skewer, toss it on the grill, creates this like candy outer shell. Mm-hmm. Candy and shrimp just go together. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. My favorite way to do them, like I used to do it, I used to always make like these, it was buffalo shrimp salad. So I would take the shrimp, mix them in a bunch of Cajun seasonings, throw them under the broiler, you know, cook them, and then toss them in like just regular Frank's Red Hot or whatever kind of like Louisiana hot sauce I had. So it would be a lower calorie version of buffalo shrimp, but you're still getting the heat there. Like I like my wings. If I'm getting buffalo wings, I want them to like ignite your mouth on fire hot. I don't want like the mild medium stuff. Give me like the five alarm. You're going to be regretting this in 30 minutes kind of heat level. And then I'm good. So.
Dude, that same thing. My heat tolerance has grown with age. You know, when I was younger, like I couldn't have a jalapeno without my face getting set on fire. And now when I ever go to like a Thai restaurant, Indian restaurant, whatever, it's like whatever your top one is,
five pepper rating.
I'm like, yeah, exactly, put it all on there. And Landon doesn't have that high tolerance. It's gotten a lot better, but he doesn't have a super high heat tolerance. And this one time they made my like chicken kerma, lamb chicken kerma, something crazy good, so spicy, like it was making my face like, you know, look like I'm crying. Yeah. I was like, you need to just try one bite, dude, try one bite, and just like melted. I mean, just poor guy. It was like, how the hell are you stomaching this? I'm like, it's good because it's a different sensory effect that's engaging, you know, for the overall like palatable kind of experience. Yep. So I like it, but to each his own.
Yeah, man. Scott. That's the beauty of being Scottish. I can spell or pronounce things differently, including creatine and nothing happens. Yeah, well, I mean, if you're the prototypical Scott, people can't understand what the hell you're saying half the time anyway.
Oh, man. Scott, what kind of scotch do you like, Scotty?
I've asked him this before because Scott's a regular on the channel. He tunes in on the weekly lives that Sandy and I do every Wednesday. And he sent me a list a while back because I do not like peaty scotches, so like the really smoky kinds. I'll need something, or I got to, you know, throw a little nip of water in there or an ice cube or something to help it, you know, mellow out, because the super aggressive scotches just blow my mouth out. And it's just, although I did have a Macallan 18 year when we were over at Sandy's sister's house this past Sunday, and I actually enjoyed it. It didn't make me want to immediately wash my mouth out with some bourbon.
Oh, dude, yeah. My go-to has been Maker's Mark. I like that. It just hits the spot for me. But scotches are definitely dependent on the brand. Like you said, there's some that I just can't stomach at all, especially because you want to enjoy it if you're spending quite a bit of money on like an 18-year. Like 18-year, that's a pretty expensive wine. You know, probably like $200 a bottle or something.
I don't know. I didn't ask. Mike, the brother-in-law, just said, hey, man, we have this entire cabinet of liquor. We hardly ever drink out of it. He said he's more of a vodka and tequila guy. So he says, I've got all these scotches that people have given us as presents over the years. So here, have your pick of whatever. Okay.
Yeah, dude, like a buffet, y'all. A little mixer here. It's heaven. Dude, that's awesome. I'm definitely a little jealous now.
After we're on our alcohol tangent, we can have some real supplement questions. Do you have a European partner or retailer that they can get some inspired goodies from, Chris?
European, we're still working on that. We are in talks with one of the bigger distributors there. But since the pandemic happened, a lot of things that we had in motion kind of got put on pause. And even same thing with the UK. We were doing really good in the UK. But with the pandemic and now Brexit, people over there are just like, dude, I'm in stasis. I don't know. So temporarily, no, we don't really have a good solution for that. We do ship a lot to Europe, and we get through customs. Our shipping rates are really good. So if you reach out to us, we do give an international discount code to help pay for your shipping. So
sweet. After this, I might have a connection that you can get to that might help facilitate things for European distribution partner or something. I'll send that your way, and maybe we can have some offline discussions about that.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Cool. In wrapping things up here, Chris, what's to come for Inspired going into 2021 Q1? Were any major releases outside of what we've already touched on?
Yeah, so the first month, Brood's going to be dropping 3 flavors of Brood, greens, 3 flavors of greens, 2 new flavors of Dough 2, 2 new flavors of Amino, 2 new flavors of Fuego. And then we're finally going to launch a new protein, and that'll be a really fun one, too.
New flavor or a new kind of like a new entire new protein product?
Yeah. So we're going to keep Protein Plus because it does well. It has its own demographic. And we're going to launch this other protein, which is just going to be mainly focused on flavor, like something super delicious. And the route that we're taking with it is pretty unique. I didn't send it to you. Here. Check. You can look on your phone right now, right?
Yep.
It's going to pop up. You're going to be like, Chris, what the hell are you launching this? It looks terrible, but hey.
Hey, man. Your releases have always been gold, and I've always enjoyed the stuff y'all have put out. And Devastate White Cut, the OG version, still remains the one pre-workout that I do like this. I'm not going to share this with the listeners, but wow. Okay.
Starting with all the flavors, too. So it'll be cool, man. I'm really stoked on it.
Yes to these flavors too. All right. I approve. Devastate White Cut, man. That was too intense for me at the full 17-gram serving. It's like 13 and a half or 14 grams was like where I needed to stay. Anything more than that was a little too intense for me. And that was whatever. You guys have a magic with your stem blends.
Dude, thank you. And it's so funny. You're just like me. And I think any like super supplement nerd would be the same. Like I weigh out my pre-workouts. You know what I mean?
You
fill it to the line, but it's condensed. It's going to be way over one scoop. You know what I mean? Or if it's like super light and fluffy, it'll be under one scoop. Always weigh it out. Because in my mind, if I have that perfect 14 grams, it's going to work much better than 13 grams and it'll be more tolerable than 15 grams. So it's I'm such a sticker when it comes to stuff like that, dude. So we have some white cut because we were buying kilos of it and then making samples because we have a, I don't know if you know, but one of the rooms in our warehouse is CGMP for samples. So we can make our own samples there and, you know, 100% legal. So I have like 10 kilograms of white cut that I found in like a big bag. So yeah, I might have to send you something, dude.
We'll have a Christmas package from Santa Chris coming on.
Stim.
There we go.
I'm still in it right now.
Touching off, here you go. There are your scotches to go for. Scapa, Glenlivet, and Glenmorangie. Or yeah. I don't even know if I'm saying that right. There's usually like a Scottish slur to certain words that I have not been able to achieve with certain things, like Laphroaig. It's some kind of Scotch, like Laphroaig. I have no idea how to say that word.
Good. Glenlivet. That used to be one of my favorites, too.
Yeah.
Really good. But then I became more of like the kind of drier, like crisper. So Canadian whiskeys, like they're my thing, too.
Yeah. I know you're a tequila guy, too, aren't you? Last time we talked, I thought you mentioned you like tequila.
Whatever's around. And people are drinking, I'll be on that bandwagon.
There we go. Awesome, Chris. Man, this was a blast, as always. Thank you for making time, especially considering this is Christmas week, and I know you got a bunch of things to do with the business and with the family. Happy birthday again, man. Congrats on baby number 2 on the way, and anything in closing you want to say, you can shamelessly plug anything and everything inspired for you if you would like.
No, man, anybody watching, thank you so much for tuning in. Like I said at the beginning of this, Robert is doing something very positive for the industry, and we need more people like him that have a positive impact, because this industry is filled with a lot of egos, and narcissism is like woven through, and people that are humble with a high level of intellect are welcome. So I appreciate you and everybody that's supported, inspired. Like, seriously, you guys mean the world to me. Lots of people gave me birthday wishes yesterday. It just like the whole day. I was going through this emotional state of just like happy and just overwhelmingly happy. So I'm just really, really appreciated for everything in my life. And it's been awesome.
Outstanding. And for any of you listening on the live feed, and those of you that are going to see this on the replay, I cannot recommend Chris's stuff and inspired heavily enough. He is one of the true, genuine, smart dudes, nice guys, and innovators in the industry, making quality products. And continues to just deliver, you know, knockout after knockout. There's a reason they were Stack's brand of the year last year. So, yeah, man, keep up the good stuff. Have a happy Christmas, good new year, and we will talk soon.
Sweet. Later, Robert. Later, everybody.